Hi, I'm Katie Page.
And I'm Paul Ashton.
And we made a comedy feature film called This Isn't Funny that Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro helped us produce.
Along with us, it stars Anthony LaPaglia, Eddie Gathegi, Mimi Rogers, David Pasquese, Gia Carides, and Danielle Panabaker.
And it features some hilarious stand-up comedy from Beth Stelling, Ahmed Barucha, Will Weldon,
and Katie. And you can stream the film right now in the U.S. store of iTunes, on Google Play, and at Amazon.
And if you like it, please tell your friends, share it, and rate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, this is Inside the Documentary, featuring breakdowns and interviews about all the latest documentaries.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Inside the Documentary. Welcome back. Inside the Documentary here at the Popcorn Talk Network. Tonight, we are covering Iraqi Odyssey, a global family saga. It's the story about a man's family and their journey in and outside of Iraq from the turn of the century all the way up to modern days time. And that man happens to be with us in the studio today. Please welcome Samir.
Thank you.
Samir, thank you so much for being with us. For those of you who have not yet seen a trailer for the film, we'd like to introduce that to you so you can understand where we are at right now. Enjoy.
50 years ago, nobody in our family could imagine that one day we would be scattered all over the world. When I was born, the world was neatly organized. Soon after, the revolution broke out. Those were exciting times.
It was beginning to blossom. I think that the oil money began pouring in the country. Everybody was so happy. We are going to nationalize our oil. We will send people abroad to study and come back. We will have our friendship with the Soviets. My father really wanted me to go to England. I said, no, I will not go to the bloody bourgeois. I'm going to the Soviet Union.
But this awakening ended in dictatorship and war after war.
Everyday explosions and glass splittering. So I decided to leave.
Now I am almost 80. How can I return? With the situation in my country, how could I return?
Religious fanatics, all the women in abayas and underneath a headscarf too, and the arms covered to here. I don't know how they can bear the heat. I want to be part of the change over there. What am I doing here? Enough. Go back and be with them.
Today, over 4 million Iraqi citizens live all over the world. Over 4 million stories. And my family story is just one of them.
Thank
you. Beautiful. It gives me chills still. Can we watch it again?
You're welcome.
It was a beautifully made film. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I personally had a little bit of a connection just to you as the narrator, as the filmmaker, because you have such a big family. I'm Egyptian. My father came from Egypt when he was 10 years old.
Ahlan wa zahlan, we say, as we say.
Quayas, and I've exhausted all my Arabic. No. And I feel like when I was following you and your family through this film, I got this sense of, you know, that our cultures might be a little similar in the music and the food and the strong family values. You have such a big family. Is that an Iraqi cultural thing to have such a large family, or is that just personal to you?
No. Of course, in this generation, that was normal. You know, that was everybody came up from huge families. It's interesting that, of course, the second generation, then, you know, the generation of my father and my uncles, they had less children than my grandfather. That was But I think that was the same thing here, everywhere, you know. If you remember the, you know, the histories of Midwestern families, you know, that you see the old pictures and there were 10 kids, 13 mm-hmm. kids. Yeah, I think that was similar all over the world. And this is also one of the aims in my movie, that I want to show the Western public, hey, these guys, which you have now known as Arabs, you know, terrorists and Muslim fanatics, these are the same people like you, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Watching this film, I don't know if I already had this preconceived notion, but I definitely, towards the end, made this realization that no matter who you are, where you come from, what you've been through, everyone wants the same thing, which is, to me, live a happy life.
Yes, of course.
And it seemed like your family in the area that they grew up and emigrated from, even getting out of Iraq,
yes,
was a struggle for your family's journeys. Why was it so hard for the people, for the Arab people, to find just simple happiness growing up?
Okay, I mean, you know, I didn't want it to make a propaganda movie, but
sure.
It's obvious that Iraq and the U.S. are very, very much connected to each other.
Yes.
And not only because of the two wars, but it was also before because of the oil. It's I'm living now in a very, very small, peaceful country without natural resources. And they are lucky, the Swiss, you know. So
Switzerland, you're telling me that chocolate is not a natural resource?
No, this chocolate comes from... the chocolate comes from Africa. This one is from Madagascar, a specialty. And the Swiss are taking it and refining it and doing the best chocolate of the world.
But the best chocolate of the world. This is actually some chocolate that Samir graciously brought in as a gift from Switzerland, which you now reside.
Yeah.
And I'm looking very much forward to trying this. You said it's the best chocolate in the best.
You will be an addict and you will call me then up. I bring your next chocolate bomb.
You're going to have to make another film. I need more.
Okay, let's come back to the to the natural resources and the problems they created. That was the problem of the Iraq, that people couldn't escape, you know. You were part of world policy, if you want or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, everybody had to leave because of politics. And my questioning was, of course, why my folks always try to go back, you know. Right. It's a crazy story. That's why it's called Iraqi Odyssey, because like in the Odyssey, Ulysses, he tries to go back to his wife, and
Ithaca.
It takes 10 years, you know, and mm-hmm. he goes from one island to the other, and mm-hmm. he never arrives in a way. And at the end, when he arrives, his woman doesn't recognize him, only his dog.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the fairy tale.
I was going to ask you about the allusion that you made. It was actually an allusion that your uncle made as well, yes?
Yeah, but he made it in a political sense. Yeah. He said, okay, Iraq is Penelope, the wife of Odysseus. But unfortunately, she went to bed with her suitor, U.S.
Yes, I love that line. The
so you see, we are very much close to the Iraq and the U.S. Do politics. That's it.
As far as, I guess, where it stands now, do you think that the situation now is in a state where it can... Let me rephrase the question. What do you think the destiny is of the Iraqi people? Because I feel like the past century has been turmoil. And where it is now and where it might be going, your family emigrated to all different parts of the world. Abu Dhabi, London, Paris, Los Angeles, New York, Sydney, Australia, everywhere.
Mm.
And some stayed in Iraq. But I still didn't get the sense that anyone felt truly home.
Mm.
Maybe some. But because there's so many family members that tell their story, I kind of take your family as the sample size for the entire Iraqi people. I feel like your family is the foremost authority on the personal history of the people of Iraq.
Yeah, funnily enough, I had also the same feeling. And during my world tour, you know, we started at the world premiere in Toronto last year. So I went now all over the world. The film was shown from Berlin to Auckland, from South Africa to the Arab world, everywhere. And everywhere I arrived, people always told me, this is our story. This yes. is our history, and this is our story. So I was astonished. It's not anymore my family. My film belonged to anyone, as it looks like. And even Switzerland has chosen to represent Switzerland, you yes. know, for the Oscar. You know, this yes. is so strange, you know.
That's an,
as
you
the
know
best
what?
Foreign... Thank you.
That's
I'm not
an amazing...
Sure.
No, yeah, your film was nominated for the Academy Awards.
Best Foreign Language, yeah.
Best Foreign Language from Switzerland.
Yeah, yes.
That's amazing. It's obviously being nationally recognized as a gift. Yes, there it is. Take a bow. You have given quite a gift going out and telling the story that I don't think has yet been told until now.
Yes.
And this gift has been given to anyone who wants to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about learning about history, think about learning from maybe a book or a history mm-hmm. professor or the History Channel, mm-hmm. you know. But
I hope it makes more fun.
It was much more fun, much more personal, and mm-hmm. I feel like really true to the source, mm-hmm. the people who lived
yes.
this history.
Yes. I that was one of my aims, of course, to give a kind of platform, you know, to this generation of my father and uncles and aunts, which really tried hard in their life to get the Iraq politically on a track of the modernity, you know, in general, you know, like, okay, equality, democracy, mm-hmm. all that stuff, which I believe these are universal issues, you know, it doesn't belong to the West. And in a way, they failed, you know. They had really to suffer because then of the dictatorship and all of that. And do that, I think they were not really able to tell their story. So it was, in a way, I was pushed, you know, by their ghost to mm-hmm. tell their story. And on the other hand, I was also, I had the need to honor them in a way, because in a way I know they failed historically, mm-hmm. but I think in 20 years people will recognize their importance.
The God-given rights for the pursuit of happiness, mm. life and liberty, those things that we love here in the free world, I guess you could say. And I think you hit that aim. You've definitely honored that pushing ghost because I was enlightened to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to turn the focus on now is you as the filmmaker, personally. You said you made this for others. Yes? Now, when you started this, mm-hmm. what was the initial reason why you started making this film? Why did you start making it? And now that people have seen it, what do you hope that they're taking away from it? What do you hope that someone like me in this generation, just sitting here in Los Angeles, mm. I watch this, do you hope any particular goal? Do you hope that I'm enlightened, or do you hope that I take action, or maybe that I just learned a little bit more?
Mm. Yes, of course, all of that.
All of that.
But in the beginning, you know, as a filmmaker, I have done a lot of fiction films, you know, mm-hmm. and funnily enough, I'm recognized more as a documentary film, even though I have only done three, you know.
Only three.
Only three from documentaries. And I have done
more
about...
Love, yeah? More Love.
No, but More Love and all that stuff, that was all fiction, mm-hmm. you know. So I made, let's say, about 25 short and long feature films, fiction, with mm-hmm. actors. And I have done only three documentaries, and I'm recognized nowadays as a documentary filmer. So, and I believe that it came because I made each of these three documentaries out of a personal need,
mm-hmm.
Which means I had to understand what's going on, and what kind of burden I'm always having with me in my rucksack, you know.
The burden of
of the past, in a way, you know?
Do you feel it from just being Iraqi or an Arab? Or, you know, it's funny. No, of course, no.
You have to understand, there is a huge difference between the U.S. and Europe or the other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. The U.S. is a migrant society by its aim, you know? It's definitely, even if Mr. Trump says the opposite or whatever, I mean, this is a society of migrants. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, not. So I was like, you know, they say always, you know, you are not born as a Jew. You become a Jew because they tell you that you are a Jew. So
sure.
I had the same experience, you know. I grew up in Switzerland since I came as a child to Switzerland. And I had all the memories of my beautiful, spoiled childhood in
sure.
Baghdad. And I was confronted every day with, you know, with xenophobia and sometimes also with heavy racism. And I couldn't understand because I was fully integrated, you know. And this is the difference between Europe and the U.S. for sure. So I had this burden, let's say, taken with me because... I wasn't aware personally. So I had to confront myself with all the stereotypes, with all the cliches and the prejudice. Why people are pointing me out? And all the three films were about identity, mm-hmm. who are you, what's going on. And so that was the first aim. But of course, I'm also, as a filmmaker, I should have a responsibility versus the society and, mm-hmm. and the people because I'm in a privileged situation. I can give something, so I should not bullshitting them. So
it, there you
I
go.
Should, I,
You're a straight I, shooter. You and your whole family.
So, thank you. So, of course, there was in my mind that I have an aim beside my personal reasons mm-hmm. to do the film. I have also an aim to tell the people the story, to let them reflect on their own position. And in Switzerland and everywhere, it worked very well. You know,
yeah.
I stayed, you know, in several screenings. We were for 6 weeks on the box office hit with all American action movies. You
no
know,
kidding.
Yeah, no. So I was really surprised that the Swiss went to see a documentary of 2.5 hours, you know, and which is complicated. They have to watch, you know, people with strange names, which they can spell, you know, all that stuff, you
sure.
know. So at the end, I figured out that a lot of these people, which you would describe here as WASP, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, that
okay.
really heavy.
I actually haven't heard WASP yet.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Never? You don't know this expression?
No, but I'm going to start using it now.
Okay.
You
this
wasp?
Is... Oh, that's very common in the 70s in
actually,
the U.S. So just to come back,
mm-hmm.
and they stayed in my movie and they watched it and at the end they thought, I didn't knew. But in a way, like, I'm really ashamed that I was not informed because
right.
I could read the newspaper. I could, you know, ask, and especially today, you can go on the internet
mm-hmm.
and understand the world.
Yeah, modern day generation, I feel like, does have that inherent need to
mm.
learn and to understand.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, call me an optimist, but I feel like global culture, globalization, we might be moving towards more of an age of understanding and tolerance
mm-hmm.
and overall accepting
mm-hmm.
one another and our differences and embracing them. Do you think that the world is getting better? Crickets.
No and yes. No. May I have a time to tell you what's going on now in Iraq? Because my film stops, you know, with the last war.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring together my family and we are talking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened meanwhile? You know, people are asking me, do you are optimist for the Iraq and what's going on? You know, it's a devastated state and nothing in function anymore. And you have even a civil war, you know, 80 kilometers in front of Baghdad, there is civil war, you know. I mean, so, and I said, you know, I got through my work on this film really more optimistic than before, because I figured out that the young generation, which didn't knew anything anymore about the past, they only had a clue of the dictatorship at when it ended. Mm-hmm. Then they grew up with the chaos of the post-war times, and they are very much connected to the world through the social media. You know, I'm getting every 10 minutes a flash news from Baghdad, what's going on, and so mm-hmm. on. These young people, they have created in the last 3 months huge movement against the corrupt government and for a secular...
I'm going to tweet out our link right now so anyone can watch live to hear this, because they need to.
Yes. And if you go on specific Iraqi, especially if you understand Arabic, you will be la, which means no. it's incredible that this movement created by youngsters, if you look at the photos, followed, you know, by elderly people, really by the masses, and they forced the MP to kick out the corrupt ministers in his government, to install a new committee of uncorrupt judges, and so on and so on. So something is going on. Mm-hmm. And last time I was there in spring, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going now in war times, you know, to visit my family. I was so surprised. I saw young people painting crazy stuff. I went to theater plays, which, I mean, on a high level, you know, I couldn't imagine. I saw youngsters of 20, 25 and working.
Totally different environment from when you left.
Yes, definitely.
And so you're seeing a little bit of change.
Yes.
And it's easier for people to uh-huh. change the environment they're in because they're more connected. They can make each other more aware. That's if something's sure. going on, I can yeah. pull out my phone yeah. and live stream it to
yes.
the world.
Yes, and they are doing it. And that's the difference between my elderly generation and me, myself, you know, and them. But of course, they have to overcome a real problem. Mm. There is no state, you know. I mean, obvious. I mean, literally, it's really a chaos. You know, if somebody grew up, you know, like, okay, this is the sidewalk, and the sidewalk is to walk. You know, the streets are for that. There is phones. You know, there is the school. If you go for your papers, you have to full. All that stuff which we take for granted mm-hmm. is not anymore. And the elderly generation was really, they freaked out. They didn't understand. So that's why a lot of people went into religion, you know, like, okay, forget the rest. Allah will handle it, you know. Of course, he will never handle, but okay, they believe it. So the youngsters, they grew up now only with this new situation, and they don't know else, you know. But of course they see, okay, in other countries they are solve it in a different way, so mm-hmm. we should also go for that. And that's why I'm optimistic.
That's excellent that you are. And putting the information and the stories out that you did in this film helps people understand the past and to not repeat patterns of the past.
Yeah,
because it seems like a lot of people forget
yes.
what can happen
yes.
so easily.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, somebody who you believe in, good public speaker, you know, radical ideas,
yeah.
is the next dictator
yeah.
5 years down the road, and
yeah.
you never saw it coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But patterns in history show
yeah.
that when people get comfortable or satisfied with the way they're living, that they're okay with it.
But the important thing is you have to create structures which allow, you know, to really express your thoughts, mm-hmm. your, you know, I think this was the difference before, that the changement was really not, it didn't went to a civil society where really people were was aware that they are part of the state. Now, you know, I'm living in Switzerland. I don't know how it works in the US, but I can tell you that in Switzerland, it's a peaceful country because everybody is involved in all decisions, you know. Mm-hmm. That makes politics very complicated, you know, and sometimes it's really backwarded, you know. If you imagine they gave the vote for the women in 71, you know, but it was given in a vote, you know. It was not decided. It was the people which then decided. So I think this is the way everything should go, you know, that to you have to participate in your small community as well as in the whole state. And I believe in the Iraq, if this generation goes on, they will fight for these rights, and they will take it, and that's why it can't be taken away anymore, you know.
Right. I believe in your optimism, and I believe that they will. Can I ask real quick, are you proud to be an Iraqi? Because, and I asked this because when I live in Los Angeles, there's a lot of people, I don't even know where they're from, Iraq, Iran, because they say I'm Persian, right? They don't, it's like a nice veil to wear. Oh, I'm Persian.
Uh-huh.
And the Persian Empire hasn't been around for a while, right? But no one says I'm Iraqi. I don't hear anyone say Iranian. Yes.
However, I'm
and it might be different in other parts of the world.
It's something different. What does it mean to be proud? Proud of what? You know, I mean, this is you inherit the culture, and I mean really culture, and then you might be proud because you are loving the creativity of this humans which created this culture. That could be something, but on a country or on a state, I'm very much doubt, you know.
Sure.
A state, I don't love a state because the state has to be me, and if we are not on that level that we are all creating this state, I'm not proud of it, you know. So I'm not really proud to be Swiss or to be Iraqi, but I'm really proud to be part of my family because they created a lot of wonderful stuff, and they were fighting for the rights of the Iraqis to create their own democratic state.
Very eloquently put. To be proud to be a title of anything is just another way to blind yourself from what it really is to be human and to be who you are and where you're from.
And might I take that also to explain the other aim of my film?
Yes.
You have seen, I have always used this
globe.
The globe.
Yes.
You know? I believe we are now really, we should leave the idea of nationality, nation, you know. Mm. We are all living on this one planet. Of course we have diverse religions, languages, cultures. That's the beauty of this planet.
Sure.
But if you look at it, I mean, we are living in a vast, black, cold entity, you know, empty, you know.
Yeah,
and we should care.
Little,
we should care about it.
Marble.
So that's why I'm not. Mm. I'm proud that humans can do a lot beautiful things, but I'm also aware that they are also doing a lot of ugly things. So we should care.
Bring awareness to it and work towards a better life for everybody. Because that's what everyone wants, is to be happy and live a good life.
That's it.
And that's beautiful. You know, one day aliens are going to touch down and we're gonna say, hey, there's no longer borders around Israel.
Yes.
There's Earth
versus
the rest of the universe. Well, Earth and Mars, because we're totally moving in soon. Right?
Are you sure?
I mean, okay. Let me switch it up and just bring it to your family real quick.
Mm.
I'd like to know, I mean, such a large family, and they're all over the world. What was it like being able to reconnect with them, and was it a struggle? I mean, was it one of the hardships of your film to, I mean, I guess we'll start with just the family.
Mm.
Seeing your family all over the world, bringing them in and directing them and bringing the story out from them, what was that like for you?
Honestly, I believe that the film wouldn't be possible if we would not live in these times where we exchange by social media.
Hmm.
It sounds funny, you know. You could, even in the old times, you know, take a plane and go somewhere and so on. But the difference was really this time. Everybody started, you know, to create their own Facebook site. Mm-hmm. And before they installed their email, so we started to come. It was, you know, the funny thing was once I said to my family that when we lived all together in Baghdad, we didn't know anything about each other, you know. And now we are spread all over the world and we know sometimes maybe things which we didn't know to know,
not,
you know,
too much about each other.
So I think it was the right time to do it also, because before I wouldn't be able really to communicate in that strong way which I had done it with in these years with my family. So my family started more than 10 years ago, 15 years ago, especially the eldest ones, just to send me their letters, their photos, everything. It was like
getting a handwritten letter in the mail nowadays, by the way, yeah, is quite a treat.
Yes.
It's like somebody,
yes,
send me a letter by owl, yes, carrier pigeon. What's in here?
Yes, and maybe you think, oh, this is some serious stuff.
Yeah, right.
In the old times,
why couldn't you just text me? What needed to be written?
Okay, to come back to my family. So, in the I felt that they were, you know, you have to understand, in the Arab world, even if my family loved films and music and everything culturally wise, but someone of the family is in movies. Mm. I mean, movies are, you know, with half naked women, and it's ebb, it's shame, you know.
Yeah, we've seen Scarface.
Yeah. So that was very, very suspicious.
Yeah.
After my last documentary about the Iraqi Jews, where I had to go into Israel and to find also a lot of archives material, which I also used in this film.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask about your research there.
And they started to understand that I'm a serious filmmaker, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the moment, that was 2002, when they started to send me their material, their files, their letters, their photos, everything. And it was so strange, you know? I asked him, so, why are you doing it? You know, I'm so old now, and what should I do? My kids are not interested, and you are the one, you know, in that way. So I knew I had to do this film, you know, after the Iraqi Jews. So I had to go also for my Muslim family, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful tribute. I mean, the amount of footage from your from your family, the photographs.
Incredible.
I mean, and now it will live forever. Not only you get to, you know, inherit that story, but the rest of the world. How do you think they feel about that?
In the first place, they were a little bit shocked. I had also some problems with some cousins.
Mm-hmm.
The one in LA didn't want it to be in the picture, so I respected it. Mm-hmm. I have only shown the parts where she is a child, a small picture, so you can't recognize her very well.
Sure.
I respected everything, but in general, after I finished the film, and as you remember, I showed them the rough cut, you know, when I invited them all to Switzerland. And they started to be proud. They understood that this film is not only about the family; mm-hmm. it's also the story of the middle class secular generation of them and their friends, in a way, you know. And then they understood that the meaning of the film is much bigger than only the story of the family.
That's right. They become the voice of the people that they represent. And that must be a beautiful moment that you can share with them. Can I ask, how long did it take you to make this film?
I always say it started 29 July 55.
You've been making it. I guess technically the footage.
I was born then, but without this family story, I could not have done it. So in the first place, but I started, let's say, really 10 years ago.
Wow!
And it took a very long time because the funding was very complicated. Mm-hmm. Even though we have in Switzerland and in Europe quite good cultural fundings for that kind of films.
Did you have any trouble obtaining any of that archival footage that you used?
Yes, that was one of my biggest problems because I only found it at the Library of Congress,
really?
At the Imperial War Museum in London, and in some Russian crazy archives, which are now all private and everyone wants a huge amount of money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Iraq. I went with a long list to the National Archive, which we have now again in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
I had to sit, of course, with the Mudir, the boss of it. He was very pleased, the filmmaker, and Tfaddal, please, some more chai, tea, and have a tea, and more chai, and one more chai, and pleasantries to talk, blah, 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 blah. So after 2 hours, I thought, okay, guy, I mean, I send you the list, I told you what stuff I need, so what's all about? He looked at me and already like an old dog, you know, and told me, the archive is a problem. But do you know YouTube?
I think we might know a little bit about YouTube. No, so that's where you got a lot of your footage.
I got, as an example, this ugly material where the dictator kills at the end his own party members, you know, this reunion, this party reunion.
Yeah, yeah, where they were, yeah, they were shouting,
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that was, I had to really look after several YouTube sources. And then we had to re-edit it, and it was a very complicated process. The beautiful things were really the old material from the Ottoman times, you know, more than 100 years ago,
yeah,
where you see how this land was really, it was incredible beauty, you know, with this,
yeah,
these two rivers, and it looks really like paradise, you know, and they say Abraham was, came from Mesopotamia at that time, so, that was the beauty for the research, to see all this past in cinema, you know.
That. Yeah. No, it was really beautiful to see. Mm. And it was intriguing to watch that footage and to learn about the history that I wasn't entirely aware of. Maybe a little bit here and there, but just to be familiar with it.
Mm.
But the fact that you could so seamlessly mix the historical information, the informative aspect,
yeah,
with the personal stories
of
and the
family.
And the the journey of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a new genre. It's like a historical biography or freaking awesome cinematic masterpiece. Can you put that in Netflix, that genre?
Like, call them.
Yeah,
call,
right?
Them.
It was very beautifully done.
Thank you.
Inside and out. And, you know, the only thing I would say that I would want to change about my experience is I would want to see it in theaters on 3D, because you this is a 3D
documentary,
a 3DD, a 3D doc.
Yeah,
and some people will get the chance to see it in 3D. Yes.
Yeah, we will have during the distribution, the US release. So several cinemas will probably show it also in 3D. The ones which can show it, and it's of course, like, you know, you would listen, you know, you can listen on a 4-track music play, a punk sound, you know, on your iPod or whatever, but it's also a beauty to listen, you know,
in
a concert hall.
Yes.
And it's this kind of experience. You can of course see then my film also on your iPhone, but it's more a beauty, you know, or let's say a deepness of the recognition of the beauty of that film into the space.
As soon as I see it hitting theaters, I'll be going back to watch it, and I'll be bragging, I got to talk to Samir about this, you know.
Thank
you. You know, it's really been just a wonderful pleasure having you, and your insights into everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll just throw it out there. November 27th, it will be coming out in New York and LA.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in New York or Los Angeles, go ahead and keep your eyes open, because shortly after, the film will be distributed for your viewing pleasure. Keep your eyes open as well for the Academy Awards. The foreign language selection by Switzerland is Iraqi Odyssey. And this has been just a pleasure to have you. Is there any last words you'd like to say to your audience? Any last thoughts that you may have that maybe you... You'd like them to sink in?
Yes, I would say, Ahlan wa Zahlan, which means you are welcome in my family. This is the expression of saying welcome.
Is it Ahlan wa Zahlan to you too? And thank you so much. Samir, we can follow your film's works on Twitter at Iraqi Odyssey in the USA. Mm-hmm. At Iraqi Odyssey in the USA.
That's the Facebook.
Oh, that's the Facebook?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, facebook.com/...
Yeah.
Iraqi Odyssey in the USA.
And on Twitter, it's also, but I think it was just Iraqi Odyssey.
Iraqi Odyssey, just on Twitter, at Iraqi Odyssey. Mm-hmm. Make sure to keep up with them. This film breaks new ground into the epic journey of the Iraqi people, whether it be in Iraq or emigrating out of it. It's just it's a beautiful story that is told by a man who put his family out for the world to learn from. So, when you get a chance, take a look. Thank you all so much. I'm your host, Ryan Malady. You can follow me at Ryan Malady. And, Masalama.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.